Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Michael Edwards reportedly turned down the chance to return to Liverpool. Yeah, this is Chris Bascombe's piece in the Telegraph. It's been in lots of different places. But he says, Liverpool's pursuit of a sporting director suffered a blow with their former chief recruiter, Michael Edwards, snubbing the chance to return to Anfield. He left in 2022, was approached about coming back to the club, but Edwards indicated he has no interest in the position. Obviously, Jörg Schmadtke is now gone. It's effectively a vacant role waiting for somebody. And interestingly, on this one, we're all speaking about who the next manager is going to be. Yeah. Is it going to be Alonso, De Zerbi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? But like, there's a sporting director to be hired as well, which is, I mean, probably the two biggest footballing positions in the club are the manager and then the sporting director. Liverpool are looking for both at the same time.
Yeah.
Was you surprised he went back to Michael Edwards? Because, I don't know, obviously, he left. He set up his own company. He apparently didn't do well. I know there was rumours linking him with other clubs as well. But it looks like he went straight back to him after Jörg Schmadtke decided. Well, it was decided he wasn't staying.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm surprised that he went back to him, because if you're looking at what you need, you know, we need a sporting director who's available. Who's, you know, we know the way they work. We trust their judgments, or we whatever their references or anything like that. Then Michael Edwards would obviously pop up in your database. I'm surprised he got out a little bit. You know, the story sort of come out, because my first sort of instinct was, you know, why would Liverpool wait until they've announced Jürgen Klopp was leaving, or Jürgen's announced that he's leaving, and then go to Michael Edwards that weekend when they've known for obviously six weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was. But then obviously the story comes out, so you go, well, actually that's probably why, isn't it? Because had you done that in November, this story might have got out, and it would have been, by the way, Jürgen's, you know, it casts doubt over that situation. I think it shows what Liverpool's approach isn't going to change. You know, I don't think Jürgen's departure means that they're going to suddenly, right, we're going to go down the sort of the Chelsea Todd Bowley route, and we're going to start, you know, you're going to see us spend. I don't think they're going to recoil and go the other way either. I think they're going to carry on trying to do what they've been doing. But I also think it shows the challenges they're going to have doing it, because it depends on people who, A, are very good at their job. Jürgen, Michael Edwards were very good at their job. And B, who can work together and do it. And if you're not, you know, we don't know who the next manager is going to be. I have a sort of leaning that I think it'll probably be Xabi Alonso, but that's all it is. Probably an opinion that it probably should be. But you don't know how he's going to work with a new sporting director. You don't know how the new sporting director is going to want to work with Mike Gordon or whoever else. So there's a lot of up in the airs at this moment in time about Liverpool's strategy off the pitch, definitely. But I think what this tells you is it won't be too far away from the approach that they've had in terms of the type of players they target, the way that they work, the sort of the idea of the way the club's structured. I think will be pretty similar. If ideally, it just will be different personalities, and that brings with it its own risks.
Absolutely. You mentioned there about, like, we spoke a few weeks ago, rather, and about like what comes first, chicken or the egg? What comes first, the sporting director or the manager? And it was like, well, Mike Gordon, FSG, are going to pick the manager.
Yeah.
I think we'd all be pretty confident on that one. But it looks like they've gone to the sporting director maybe first, because obviously they haven't made any, as far as we know, they haven't really approached any managers yet. They're probably doing all the work behind the scenes. But they did go to Edwards first. I wonder if that's an indication. Maybe that is that the role they want to get done first, or is that just because he's a free agent and it's easier to do that than go and get a De Zerbi or Alonso out to the club?
And also, you know, you really need to be planning the summer window, don't you? now.
Yeah,
probably should already.
Yeah, well, Jürgen was saying he was going to be doing it.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. So you know, you sort of you want to be the managers, the managing. You know, really, you only need the manager in place for the first day of pre-season, don't you? You know, in July or whatever. But you want it. You want someone doing the sort of the work, the deals, whatever it is, the negotiations, really ASAP in terms of the summer transfer window. So I don't think that has an impact on the managerial appointment. I don't think, you know, it's a case of like, right, Michael, do you fancy the job? By the way, tell us who our next manager should be. I don't think it'll be that. I think Mike Gordon will already be, you know, and whoever, Will Spearman and the data team will already be a fair way down the road in terms of, at the very least, whittling down candidates or creating a bit of a short list. But yeah, beyond that, there's a lot of stuff that needs doing, isn't there? There's contracts, there's obviously sales potentially, there's people leaving on frees, there's new signings that are going to be needed as every summer. So getting the sporting director in as quickly as possible. You know, I'm not sure whether it'll be possible or reasonable to expect that the new manager's sort of known before the end of the season that we know, okay, Klopp's leaving on this date and then X is moving in. X actually works, doesn't it? I meant Mr. X.
Mr. XA.
Yeah. But I'm not sure whether that's reasonable to expect because of obviously all the contracts and
Man United did it though, to be fair. Ten Hag was announced before the end of the season.
They did. So possibly. But I think it's reasonable to expect that Liverpool will have a new sporting director by the end of the season, definitely. And if not, then you would be a bit worried.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think it matters? Because, like, I know FSG can't. They did this with Klopp and Edwards. Like, they were sometimes they come as a team, but like, you basically, your boss has put you together. Like, you're the boss. You're that, and you're working together now.
Yeah.
There's no like synergy of like, would you want him? Would you want him? Would you like him or not?
No.
It comes from above. Like, he's that. You're that. Get on.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the approach they're gonna go for. Which again, it seemed it worked last time, don't get me wrong, but also it does run the risk of like personality clashes or, who gets the final, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think a lot comes from that, you know, a lot of the success around Liverpool. I spoke to people who've been, you know, very close to that. A lot of the success around Liverpool's recruitment policy and strategy came from the personality of those two people.
Yeah.
Really. And Mike Gordon, as the third member, really, the triumvirate, you know, they can fall out, they can disagree, but there's no sort of agenda working against each other, you know, and I don't mean that in a sort of, you know, as sinister as that sounds, but there's no kind of, well, the manager's mind is on this and the club's mind is on this. There was a fairly central point where they both were pretty close to. So that is important, of course. You know, you're bringing in two people who've never worked together. I mean, Edwards was already at the club when Jürgen was appointed, you know, albeit in a different guise. If you are bringing in two brand new appointments who don't know the club, and obviously there's not just the manager, but there's his staff that he might want. He might want different fitness team, they might want different medical team, he might want a different scouting network, then obviously that leads to some change. And if you've got people who are abrasive or who maybe don't, you know, don't give ground as easily as maybe Jürgen has done at times or as Michael Edwards has done at times, then you could get that. That is the risk. But I think that's why Liverpool sort of, you know, are taking their time on these things. I think that they'll do all they can to mitigate that sort of risk and get the right characters in. It feels to me like Schmeichel was a decent character in that sense. You know, there was no sort of, didn't feel like there was anything rocking the boat when he was there. It didn't, you know, we never heard from him, did we? We didn't hear. I wondered whether we might have heard a little bit more because he was a German sporting director, whether we might have heard him taking a bit more media.
He's done a lot of media in Germany, didn't he?
Yeah, we never really heard him sort of saying, well, you know, yeah, you know, I'm gonna tell you what happened with Caicedo, or, you know, God, let me tell you something about, you know, why the manager didn't let me sign this player or whatever it is. We never got any of that. I don't expect that to change, but obviously when you're bringing in new people whose maybe personality you haven't seen that close up or you haven't really seen in such a pressurised situation, then there is that risk. And, you know, I think it's right the Liverpool fans do have some concern that, you know, two big vacancies need filling. I think the manager's one, you know, I sort of said this on another show yesterday, but you can't find the perfect solution isn't out there for Liverpool. no matter what, you know. Yeah. There's no silver bullet that you go, nailed it. Anyone they bring in, whether they're the most experienced manager in the world or you know, an Alonso, you know, someone like that, there'll be pros and cons to it. You've just got to hope that, you know, you back your judgment and that the potential that you see and the vision that you see for the club is able to play out. I think what you would say is the potential of the club in terms of the playing staff and the infrastructure and the youth setup and all those things, that's big. So there's plenty for any new manager to get stuck into and you know, try and plenty of tools at their disposal, definitely.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Absolutely. Without hypothesizing too much, it's kind of half obvious where the story comes from, because Billy Hogan did say at his press conference, we'll do everything behind the scenes, we'll tell you when we're ready. Like, yeah. There'll be no leaks coming from us, so it's obviously coming from the other way. How do you think Liverpool will feel about the fact that the story got out? Because they don't like things like this being in public knowledge. They're not big fans of it. They try and do everything as behind the right way, really. Obviously, it's come from the other camp that this story's got out for whatever reason. It could be a conversation, it could be any, you know, doesn't do someone's business any favours, sorry, any harm to have Liverpool link with the names again. But I think Liverpool's response will be, because now whoever does get hired, it's going to be, they ask Michael Edwards first. Yeah. That's always something that's maybe going to be in the back of minds.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll affect the prestige of the job.
No,
from a Liverpool perspective, you know, I don't think there'll be people saying, "Oh, no, I'm not answering the phone when they ring." You know,
second choice.
Yeah, but I think there would have been a bit of surprise, disappointment, maybe that the story got out. I was surprised. You know, I was a bit like, "Oh, you know, that was." Not what you'd expect. You know, you think of Michael Edwards as
a private man.
He's very, you know, never gave interviews, did he? You know, you never saw him sort of, everyone uses the same picture of him, don't they, really? To illustrate their articles, because there's not so few of them knocking around. I don't think it'll be a big deal for them. There might have been a sort of couple of raised eyebrows and a tooth or whatever, but, you know, I think it'll be a bit more, you know, It shows obviously the importance, and when people ask why has Jürgen made his announcement now, I think that it tells you that, doesn't it? You know, what's going to happen. Yeah, you know, it's a miracle really that Liverpool were able to keep that secret for as long as they did. So it explains a little bit why, you know, time and why Jürgen felt like he had to say it publicly. And We're gonna have to deal with a lot more of these, you know. What are they seeing? You know, stories this week with Ruben Amorim. We see stories about Chelsea wanting Xabi Alonso. You know, there's going to be all of these things that we're going to have to sort of sift through in the next weeks and months. But I think Liverpool will keep pretty quiet about it, and you know, I think you've got to back them. Look, you know, as much as it's 9 years ago, virtually 8.5 years ago, the last time they appointed a manager, they got it spot on. Most of the time they've recruited players, they've got it spot on. So I think you've got to trust their track record in this, you know, even if it is a little bit unprecedented in terms of the scale of the job that they've got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any other, have we heard anything else reported? Again, probably not, because Liverpool are really good at keeping the secret, but like, there are a couple of names floating about in the sporting director stuff, but there's been nothing like official out there.
No.
Again, everything is going the way Liverpool would like, kind of half want it to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of the stuff, I mean, Tim Steiton was one, wasn't he, that was sort of...
The guy at Bournemouth whose name I...
Yeah.
Hughes, is it? I think I heard.
Yeah, sorry, Richard Hughes, yeah. Yeah, there's a few, you know, it's really hard to know really what a good sporting director is.
Yeah.
Especially for a club like Liverpool, who have a specific way, because we've seen it. Remember, there was a time when Steve Walsh was the number one sporting director, really, you know, in the Premier League, and Jamie Vardy, Riyad Mahrez, N'Golo Kanté, and you thought, what a hit rate. He goes to Everton, and it's a different club, and you've got different demands. There was a time when Newcastle seemed to, you know, they got a lot of publicity for cornering the French market, that they were getting in players. Graham Carr, wasn't it, their chief scout, was getting all these players, but that doesn't last forever. So it's a really difficult one to sort of judge, right, he's the sort of perfect candidate for the sporting director, or that's down to the club to deal with that. We can look at it and say, well, his track record is this, and he's been this, and he's worked with these kind of players, and you can put ticks in boxes, but really, you know, until Liverpool sort of show their hand, it's just conjecture at this moment in time. And I don't expect Liverpool to sort of start briefing that, all right, this is our number one sporting director target, we're going to have to Monchi or Richard Hughes or whoever you want to talk about. I think it'll be one of those that it'll emerge when it's pretty much done.
Who's the West Ham guy? Tim
Steiton. Yeah, he was at Leverkusen.
Well, I was about to say, is there anything...
He was linked with Liverpool before Jürgen Schmeichel was appointed.
Yeah, is there anything in the fact that he was with Alonso for a bit, in that if you are looking to fill these two guys and their two massive roles, is there benefit of bringing in two guys who've worked together before? At least do you...
Possibly, because he didn't work with him for long.
He got off after a bit. He helped hire him.
Yeah, he didn't work with him for long, and he obviously left for West Ham. You know, before Alonso had completed a full season. So how close that relationship is, you don't know. I know there's, you know, you speak to people in Germany and they'll tell you good and bad things about him. You speak to people at West Ham and they'll tell you good and bad things about him. I mean, he's just signed Calvin Phillips on loan.
But he signed Kudus.
But he signed Mohamed Kudus and he signed Edson Alvarez and he got good money for Declan Rice. You know, so there are ticks and crosses in a lot of these people's boxes. Like I say, there's not many sort of ways that people like us can sort of say, well, he's the guy that Liverpool needs to appoint. You know, you can look at people with great track records, Michael Edwards being one, but there's every chance, you know, Michael Edwards jumped at the first opportunity he got and went to Chelsea, and now people are saying, oh, he wasn't that good, was he? You know, like, look at this, he's got all, you know, because of the nature of the club. So a lot depends on the stability of the club, the stability of the relationship with the manager, the strategy of the owners, and the fact that, you know the conditions that you're going to be working in. And I think Liverpool are in a decent position in that regard, because we all sort of know what you're going to be expected to do. You're not going to turn up at Liverpool and they're going to say, oh, by the way, we're going to go, look, we need big, tall, 6'4" sort of experienced players, and we're going to play at a very direct style. You know that Liverpool have got a certain way of, you know, playing football, certain demands in terms of the communication that you need with the fans, certain demands in the type of players that you're going to target. So I think that makes it a little bit easier for them to, you know, A, attract the right kind of candidate, but also find it.
Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed that clip from Journo Insights. If you want to go and check out the entire show, either in video or in podcast form, it is available now over at redmenplus.com. Go and check out all the amazing interviews, features, documentaries, and all of our amazing content as we build up towards the League Cup final. So yeah, redmenplus.com. Go and check out Journo Insights and all the other amazing shows on offer there for you. See you later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.